Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom, it's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined by another member of the House of Representatives. He represents the people of the 4th District of Arizona. His name is Dr. Paul Gosar, a dentist by training, but now one of our country's, I think, most courageous and thoughtful legislators, with responsibilities, among other things, on the Committee on Oversight and Governmental Reform. He serves on its Subcommittee on National Security, Homeland Defense, and Foreign Operations. It's great to have him back. Dr. Gosar, welcome. Good to talk with you.
Thanks for having me on, Frank.
Well, I'm particularly glad you're with us because we just had a conversation with your colleague and my friend and yours, I'm sure, Chris Stewart, about DACA. And he takes the view that, well, we need to bring these young people into the legitimate light of day. What are your thoughts on what the president has done so far and what is seemingly in the offing now on the Hill?
Well, DACA is the dessert. And what I mean by that is I think that Chris Stewart thought about tying them being able to stay with completion of the wall. But it goes even further. It means that they have to be tied all the way across the board. I'll give you an example. If we allow DACA to go through as they're talking about without addressing chain migration, then what ends up happening is these kids that were brought in egregiously against their own actions bring in the lawbreakers through chain migration. This has got to stop. We ought to go back and see what it takes to be a rightful citizen in this country. Why does it take 10 years? Why does it take hundreds of thousands of dollars? And look at that rightly. We need to define birthright citizenship because, as Rand Paul articulately said during the debates, that's not been settled, particularly on illegal immigrants. It was settled on regards to somebody legally into this country, but never somebody illegally. We have to look at sovereignty of our country, the ability of a country to define its borders and to sovereignly say, listen, you're in, you're out, and making sure that the rule of law is upheld. So there's a lot to this story, and I hope that Americans really tie this. They can be compassionate, but we also want to make sure that we teach kind of the one of the sayings from Christ is, give a fish to a fisherman, you feed him for a day, but teach the fisherman how to fish. You teach them for a lifetime.
Amen to that. This sounds as though it's a prescription, Congressman Gosar, for comprehensive immigration reform. Is that what you're calling for? And if so, would it be something along the lines of what we saw offered up by the Gang of Eight and the Senate last time around?
I'm not a big fan of comprehensive anything, because what ends up happening, Frank, up on the Hill, when you say comprehensive, you're going to get a lot of crap thrown into there. Immigration is one of those issues that makes it so profound for us to break it down into smaller pieces and share that with the American people so that they know inherently what is behind it, who benefits, who's held accountable. And you start piece by piece by piece by piece. That restores trust. Trust is a series of promises kept. And that's why the American people don't trust government. They don't trust Congress because they throw these big packages together instead of articulately deciding and debating in front of the American people and listening to them. That is key and crucial to this whole aspect. So if you're going to talk about comprehensive, you've got to do it piece by piece by piece, not all in one piece.
But trust as the underpinning of it all is such an important insight, Congressman Gosar.
And you got to build it.
Yeah, you got to try to get it back, most especially. Let me ask you about a couple of things that speak to whether Congress and for that matter, the government more generally is trustworthy. The Supreme Court yesterday, happily, did block the latest outrage by the Ninth Circuit about this immigration pause executive order the president has offered as a means of trying to stop importing more jihadists. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on this, Congressman. The purpose of this is somehow gone over the side completely. The purpose has been, of course, to try to accomplish what the president described as extreme vetting. I'm not sure that's the best term for it, but at least to try to filter out the people that you genuinely do not want coming to this country. I think of them as Sharia supremacists. But what are your thoughts on where this stands and whether we're likely to get not only the president's authorities upheld, as they should be, of course, but also a good outcome in terms of protecting our people?
Well, I applaud the Supreme Court, but I actually think it will go farther and uphold the president's right of due diligence in regards to this protection of the United States. I don't get what part of Sharia actually is applicable with our Constitution. I flat don't get it. Number two is I don't understand the Ninth Circuit. They've hemmed and hawed, and they've come up with every other ruling that really doesn't apply in this jurisdiction. That means that we've got a court system that's out of whack. And the late Anton Scalia used to teach us that we as Congress control the purse strings of all lower courts, not only from the money that they get, but also the issues they can take up. And we also have a checks and balances with them, and that is the impeachment of federal judges. You know, I'm from Arizona. We were actually held back from our entry into the United States because our first attempt was that we wanted to recall federal judges. We were so far ahead of our time. You know, so from that standpoint, I think this is a good thing, but we want to make sure that we get this put fully with the Supreme Court. Most people don't realize this is about governments that don't have a centralized government, so there's no ability for them to actually evaluate these people.
Or in some cases, they're just hostile governments. It's not just that they're failed states. Iran, for example. Well, let me turn to one other thing before we run out of time, Congressman. We have talked before about the assault on freedom of speech, much in evidence, of course, in the aftermath of the Charlottesville riots. The president is meeting with Congressman Tim Scott today. This is about, you know, his response to that episode. Featured prominently in much of this is a group called the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has been vilifying lots of folks, including yours truly, about the effort to speak truthfully, among other things, about this threat from Sharia supremacism. What are your thoughts on where we are with respect to freedom of speech and what we need to do to protect it?
Well, first of all, Frank, I didn't know that sticks and stones may break my bones, but names and words will never hurt me. You know, that's the old adage that, parents taught children is having a thick skin. But boy, this hateful speech, where the Southern Poverty Law Center is going is trying to tie our application of free speech to that of Europe, where you can recite factual evidence but then be contrarily deemed an insurgent by the government. And so this has to be one of those aspects where we as conservatives start to attack on the other side, because it is a formation, an assault on the very formation of this country.
It is indeed. First, foundational principles and freedoms. Congressman, finally, let me ask you, in connection with your role in the Subcommittee on National Security and Homeland Defense and Foreign Operations, several contractors have come forward in the wake of the latest anniversary of the Benghazi attack, also a 9/11 attack, lest we forget, that complained that they were, first of all, denied the opportunity to provide security there, then at the last minute asked to do it, unable to do it in time, unfortunately, then silenced by Hillary Clinton's State Department from saying anything about what happened. And now we're warning that if we continue giving low bidders the responsibility for providing security at these foreign missions, that we're likely to see more Benghazis in the future. Your thoughts on all of that, sir?
Well, you know, it's not just Hillary Clinton, it's Barack Obama. So we have to lay the accountability where it's so deemed. But no, we have to have that conversation in regards to, you know, what comprises a bid. I want to make sure that there's fair and open bidding, but we have to take all things in open settings. What have you accomplished? How have you provided security in the past? There's got to be some due diligence to historical application of way a bidder actually does their job and is accountable for that job.
No sweetheart deals or just low bidders without capability. Congressman Paul Gosar, we are hard out of time, sir. I appreciate so much yours today, as well as all that you do for our country in the United States Congress, representing with such distinction the people of the 4th District of Arizona. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon, and the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.